Everybody, welcome to the second episode of Girls Will Be Ghouls. I'm Zena Dixon from RealQueenOfHorror.com, and I'm here with Ashley Blackwell from GraveyardShiftSisters.com. Ashley, how are you doing tonight?
Hi, everybody. Doing good.
Okay.
How are you?
You know, I was actually waiting for you to ask me because I feel super duper giddy about today's episode and what we're going to be doing. If you guys missed out on the first episode, it's never too late to listen to it, so you can do that. But if not, we're happy that you're listening tonight. But if you guys did miss out from the first episode, basically we just talked about my top 2014 forgettable horror film. We also talked about 2001 Bones, starring Snoop Dogg. In tonight's episode, Ashley's 2014.
You know what? Hey, wait a minute.
Film recap.
And 1998's The Faculty.
Yeah.
I just want to thank Bo Ransdale from Legion Podcast for putting us on their network. I like Legion Podcast tagline. It's like a new network of horror, sci-fi, and comedy podcasts dedicated to bringing you the very best and original content every week. You can go to legionpodcast.com and listen to us there. You can also go to realqueenofhorror.com and listen to the first episode and the blog post, as well as graveyardshiftsisters.com. I just want to say about Bo, I've been an admirer of him being funny and intelligent about horror films on various podcasts for a long time now, so I was really, really floored and happy when he reached out to me about, you know, did I ever want to do a podcast, or am I interested in doing one, because I'd love to hear your perspective on Legion, and I love reading your blog, so that was really, for someone like him, I was really, really honored, and it really felt really, really nice to hear him say that about what I do, and also what we do. He's really excited about the podcast, and I just want to give a special shout out to him and thank him a lot, because I was like, oh my God, it's Bo. I listen to him every week on Devour Podcast. But yeah, so I just want to say hi, Bo, and also thank you everyone on Twitter who's been giving us love, you know, hitting up our websites and listening and giving us feedback and saying they enjoy it. So that means a lot to me, and I know it means a lot to Zena too, of course.
It definitely does. First, of course, yay, Bo. Thank you for all your support, as well as to all the listeners and everyone at Legion Podcast. They were very welcoming when I joined the Facebook group, and I'm super excited about that, to be a part of that, and also to listen to the other podcasts that are up on there.
So, yes, as we do as usual, we start our podcast with a horror list, and now we're going to start with my pre-existing horror list that I had made up at the end of 2014. I wasn't really sure if I was going to do one, because everyone does it, but I really did want to talk about all of the films that I saw that year, because I had been spending a lot of time watching more movies, especially in regards to the blog, and just thinking about film in general, and just hanging out with my friends Jen and Ray, and we'll spend a weekend watching, you know, anywhere between 4 and 6 movies almost in a row. And so, you know, watching more movies, I got like a little bit more time to kind of think about, you know, putting together some sort of a list, but give it a, you know, a different kind of angle or feel to it. And at the end of 2014, it kind of sparked an idea. I was like, well, I'll just talk about the ones that kind of, that the first movies that kind of come to my mind from the best and the worst that I had saw this year and everything in between. So I wanted to start my list from the bottom up, and I started with the worst. And for me, it was Annabelle, which we did talk about last
time
we talked, I believe.
We really did. We went in.
Yeah, so I'm not going to rehash that too much, but I mean, Annabelle was not really just the worst, it was kind of a huge disappointment, like I said before, like I loved The Conjuring, so I was expecting a lot more from Annabelle. I wasn't expecting the same movie, but I was expecting something more in a similar tone. I expected something a little bit more frightening, and something with a lot more character meat, and it just didn't have that. So, moving on, I also VHS Viral. So here's the thing. I absolutely loved VHS 2. Now that's only to really say the saving grace of VHS 2 for me was the segment Safe Haven, which if you've seen it, you know that is the one about the cult in, I forget what part of Asia, forgive me. But that short film blew me away. And I've also mentioned before that I think that segment literally made me nauseous. Like, to the point where I did not think I was going to make it home in one piece that night, getting home, because I was that nauseous and that worked up. Like, it was like an adrenaline rush that I've never felt before. And so it was just so balls to the wall crazy. And so I was expecting a lot from VHS Viral. I was just, because, you know, I saw, if you watch the first VHS and you're like, okay, it's solid, but it has its flaws. And then you see VHS 2 and the general consensus was that they did a lot of things differently with VHS 2. They made up for the flaws in the first one. I don't know if you agree or not, Zena, if you've seen them.
Well, I haven't seen the third one yet. So I'm, Viral. So I'm not too, I can't really speak on that one, but I was more of a fan of the first one than I was the second one.
Wow.
Yeah. Simply because with the first one, oh my gosh, the first movie that they, the first little short that they had, like the little narrative, Take 56, blew my mind. I know, like, everybody, like, I would tell about it, like, they're like, oh, I hated that one. I'm sorry. Like, I thought that was amazing. Like,
yeah, that was the one with the demon girl, right?
Oh, no, that was like the opening to it. I really liked that one, but I did like that other one.
Which one?
The first one. Well, I guess it wasn't really a part of the
team. Are you talking about the wraparound story?
Yeah, the wraparound story. The opening.
Are you serious?
Yes, I loved it. I'm dead serious. God. I absolutely loved it because I wasn't expecting that at all. And
yeah,
then
you're alone there.
The way it wrapped around with how they found the tapes, I loved. And then even with the first one, with that demon girl, with that whole, I like you. I really liked her too. Like, she's actually one of my horror heroes. With the second one, I thought it was pretty cool. Safe Haven wasn't my favorite. I mean, I thought it was pretty gross with some of the stuff that was going on there.
Yeah.
But I actually liked the one, The Slumber Party.
See, I don't get it. That's like the worst one to me.
I loved it. I mean, I felt so bad for that little dog. Like, that dog didn't do anything to anyone. He did not deserve that. But
those little young punks, I swear.
They were. But it's like, I like to be surprised. And honestly, I wasn't expecting that. But you can go on about Viral, though. It is on my watch it list. I feel really terrible that I haven't gotten around to watching it because I've heard mixed reviews on it.
There's nothing mixed about Viral. It is terrible. I don't know who you're talking to.
There were some people who said that they liked it. They said that it wasn't as good as the first or second one, but they liked it.
I spent my money on this, and I really, that hurts me, because I want my money back. I was mad that I spent money on this, because I was so, because it wasn't blind faith, it was like a foundational faith from two, and I'm just like, I paid the VOD price, because that's what I do. I'm a respectable horror fan. I pay the money if I have it, you know, so I wanted to support them, you know, give them some money. No, I just thought it was, you know, the opening shaky cam, don't know what the hell is going on because the camera shaking too much, a wraparound story. It just didn't make much sense. And there's an ice cream truck and some guy's girl gets kidnapped. I vaguely remember it. It is an extremely forgettable film, except for maybe the one segment where there's like an alternate universe. And that was kind of, that felt more for just shock value than anything else because it was kind of crazy. I don't want to give any spoilers away because you haven't seen it.
Okay.
And then I couldn't tell. Okay, no, I remember there's a magician segment that was watchable, but, you know, not my flavor, but I hear a lot of people, you know, say that they give that segment a pass. Okay. Because it was the more, I guess, one of the more solid ones and one of the more easier to follow and one of the more entertaining segments. But I also had really high hopes for the skateboarding segment as well with mm-hmm. With the skulls and in Mexico or something like that, and it came to life or something really crazy like that. It was just so underdeveloped, and that was the one I was looking forward to, because those were the screenshots that I had seen prior to the movie being available in VOD. So I was like, oh, that one looks really cool. They're going to do something really cool and interesting. And no, they didn't. It was just a bunch of guys skating around and some skulls come to life and they encounter them and the end. Like, I hate to kind of downplay this movie, but I honestly can't remember that much about.
But wait, I'm sorry.
To say anymore. I just remember it being terrible.
Okay. Well, I do remember because I just heard pieces, from some people. Someone did tell me, this was on Instagram. Someone was watching it and they posted about it, that a part of the movie, there's a website called like Gorgeous Vortex, and they liked it. I mean, what is that about without giving like a super duper spoiler?
Okay, see, I haven't seen. I think that's a segment that wasn't. I gotta be honest with you. I'm sorry, listeners. I'm sorry. I do not remember that much about this movie except how unforgettable and how much I hated it. I don't know if that segment was actually in the movie that I saw. I think that was something that was. That came out later. That was another thing I saw as far as screen caps before the movie was made available. So,
okay. Well,
I can't tell you. It was something else that looked really cool. Like, I'm like, oh, they're going to do something really interesting here, yada, 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 so forth. I don't remember. I can't say that I know. Did somebody tag you?
No, like, you know, sometimes when people on Instagram, they're saying, oh, I'm watching a movie, and somebody comment, and they just said how, oh, watch out for, like, the Gorgeous Vortex. Like, it's a website that's part of the movie. And I was like, oh, that sounds pretty cool. So, but I still haven't gotten around to watching it, even though that was, like, 2 weeks or so ago. But isn't Bloody Disgusting somehow a part of the movie, or was a part of the production company or something? No.
Again, I haven't gotten that far. I'm not sure.
Okay. I'll Google it.
Yeah.
So, I'll Google it.
But yeah, movies that I don't like, I don't particularly take too much care to who was behind it. Fortunately or unfortunately, I don't know. I just, you know, there's not enough time in the day. my other movie that, again, it's, there's two movies for me that kind of straddled the kind of in between. Didn't love them, but didn't mm-hmm. hate them at all. One of those movies was The Taking of Deborah Logan.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that I liked it. I thought it was really interesting. It was definitely something I thought that was more original that I had seen that year. It was suggested to me by LaTanya from, she has a blog called Sprinkles and Booze. She's also a really big horror fan.
Yeah, she's awesome.
I think
awesome.
She pinged me on a tweet saying that I would like it. And usually when people tell me that, I'm just like, all right, maybe I'll see it. I don't know. it really depends. Like, honestly, Hannah Neurotica, who's also a good friend of mine, like, when she gives me a movie recommendation, I'm like, okay, I'll watch it. But other people, I'm just like, sometimes I'm just like, all right, well, maybe, you know, like, it's, I guess sometimes I go on Netflix and you just get so overwhelmed because I just don't know what to watch. And I don't know, because it usually, it does sometimes take the recommendation of someone for me to check out a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, but since LaTanya and other people are talking about The Taking of Deborah Logan, you know, this is kind of before I kind of saw it on Twitter kind of blow up. I was like, oh, I'll check it out. And I was like, oh, wow, this movie is really good. And it was kind of creepy in some parts. Did you see it?
Oh, yes. Yes, I did. I actually watched it because I forgot her name, but the woman who actually played Deborah, she used to be in a...
My Children?
Yes, and I used to watch that. Yeah, you know, so I used to watch that show. So I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that she's actually in a horror, you know, a horror film. So... I watched it, you know, one night, and I had to watch it twice because I couldn't really understand it, like, the first time. But I'm kind of on the same page with you. Like, I liked it, but it wasn't, like, woo, like, mind-blowing. There is a particular part that did make me just want to, like, pack up my bags and leave this planet. Without giving out the spoilers, do you remember close towards the end when... Okay, I have to be very, very careful about this. You know I have a motor mouth. And this movie is, it's like, it's kind of new. So I don't want to, like, I don't know. It's close towards the end of the film in a cave.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I'll say. Do you remember what happened?
Yeah, I remember the big scenes more so.
Yeah.
I like that the movie, there's a lot, because I get what you're saying about seeing it twice, because there's a lot to peel back. I actually watched it with the closed captioning, and sometimes that helps me stay focused on a film.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do it all the time, but sometimes I will put closed caption on while I'm watching it. And so, because the film starts out very innocently. It mm-hmm. starts out, you know, with a camera crew trying to investigate, I think, the effects of Alzheimer's, I believe.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of peeling back to the story. It really unfolds in a nice pace. So it becomes more and more unnerving. Like, you're kind of going through the motions with all of the other characters. And I thought that was really good. It was extremely well acted. I don't think anyone would dispute that. And yeah, because I can't say Deborah Logan. I just call her Opal. Like, if anyone knows all my children, her name is Opal.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, because I was a kid. When I was a teenager, I loved the hell out of some soap operas. So, but yeah, that was. I think that's definitely a high recommend for everyone to see that.
It is.
It's A-plus for originality as well.
Mm-hmm.
The other film I saw was the 1973 The Wicker Man, not the newer one that everyone hates with Nicolas Cage. I saw The Wicker Man. I thought it was decent. So I'm going to expose my Achilles heel with horror. It's anything to do with any kind of cult, especially something that borderlines on satanic or any kind of conspiracy that surrounds cults and power and things of that nature, and like little secluded communities that do weird shit. That kind of stuff really bothers me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sit well with me. I don't sleep well at night. After watching them, I don't like anything related to that. But The Wicker Man was, I guess, because of the time period, it felt innocent. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel the innocence. I could see through it all. But it was, I thought it was really good, and it kind of went on this journey of this really kind of suppressed, kind of, you know, stand-up Christian character who did not see the value in any kind of alternative lifestyle. And clearly that alternative lifestyle, you know, turned on him and used him. And that's kind of frightening. And I don't know if you... Have you ever seen the original?
I haven't. I haven't seen any of the films, but that's another one that is on my watch it list because I used to go on forums a lot, and a lot of people were just overhyped about this movie and saying how wonderful it is. And I just know that, isn't it based off of the off of a book?
I think so, but yeah. Don't hold me to that.
Yeah, I heard that it was. I'm not too sure the name of the book or anything like that, but no, I haven't seen the movie as of yet.
No, I think it is really good. It's one of those, you know, classics that everyone should see, and you know, I can't really say anything more about it. Again, it was one of those in between movies for me that, you know, I'm glad I saw it, but will I see it again? Probably not.
So, did you think it was scary or disturbing or?
I don't think I'd use those words. I think it goes for that kind of angle of being kind of low key in the idea of being suspenseful or scary or frightening. It's very kind of below the surface, and it's one of those movies you kind of, again, have to kind of peel back because it's not going to assault you with gore or exploitative fare. It's a movie that people would argue whether or not it's a horror film. Like some people, not horror fans, I think specifically, but you know, again, I'm just kind of going off guesswork. I don't know much about these films. I'm just kind of going off the feeling of how I felt when I saw them, basically.
Okay.
But, Just like this next one, which is, I picked a non-horror one because it's a movie that stuck to me so much. Did you see Dear White People?
No! Oh my God! And I have it. I have it to watch it. Someone sent it to me. It's, I don't know. I just haven't watched it yet, but after we're done with this podcast, I'm watching it tonight. So
definitely watch it, and yeah, send me some comments. I want to hear your feedback.
Okay.
It's, when I saw the concept trailer, which I wish was still on YouTube, I don't know if it still is or not, but if it is, hopefully I can put it in the show notes. The concept trailer, the one that kind of grabbed everyone's attention and I think helped get the film where it is now, got it to Sundance and everything else, like the popularity of it. I think, honestly, the popularity of this, of the concept trailer, of the film, of it getting the attention it got, was because this is the film a lot of us, I want to speak boldly here and say this is a movie a lot of us black folks have been waiting for, especially as young black people, because it's a movie that's so intelligently on point with the experiences of, you know, black people in their 20s and 30s now who are, you know, educated, whether that's college, whether, you know, college educated or not, you know, just being an educated person, being a person in tune with the idea of how people interact with us in regards to our race, you know, just and also just people, because it's based on a college campus, also about the black college experience, especially for some people who have gone to predominantly white colleges and have just dealt with a lot of the identity issues that the characters in this film are dealing with. And I think also the reason that it kind of can cast a wide net for a lot of folks is because the issues that the four main characters are dealing with are, they transcend a university setting. So, and I really appreciate it for that. I think, like I said, like I tell people all the time, I think the only thing that kind of works to its disadvantage is that it's, for a first-time director, like, juggling multiple main characters and trying to give them a focal point, there's a thirst there. For me, there was a thirst to want more of each character, and you can't possibly get that in 90 minutes. Or, you know, really trying to give agency and give multiple dimensions to four different characters who, you know, of course, kind of have the similar connecting feelings and emotions that kind of bring them bring this film together. It is a film about, you know, it's a film about identity, and it's a film where you get to, I don't know, it really, to a degree, it felt really cathartic for me, because I feel like I am a little bit of each of those characters, especially in college, because if you probably remember college, I can speak only for myself to know that, you know, now that I'm in my early 30s and thinking back to when I was in my early 20s, it's just like, yeah, I didn't know jack squat, number one, and number two, I really didn't know who I was, and I did not really have my voice. I didn't know what my voice was, and I think these characters are dealing with that in a very intelligent and fun and also angsty way that's not like overly dramatic Tyler Perry nonsense.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
It's funny, like my university was predominantly white, but it's very easy to fall into the crack of understanding that also my university is extremely diverse and it has a high percentage rate of non-white students. So I think every college campus has a different vibe and different energy, and Temple definitely had that difference going for it. I mean, it's definitely not perfect, but you were able to kind of find, you know, a tribe, or you didn't feel, for me personally, I didn't feel so alone on that campus. Like there was, it was easy to kind of, you know, fall into, you know, friendly rapport with people and get along, and you saw plenty of black folks, you saw plenty of Asian folks. It wasn't, it just kind of how the flow of the campus was. I'm rambling, so
no, you're fine.
But
like,
for some reason, Dear White People like strikes a chord with me. like, not for some reason, but like, it strikes a chord with me where I can just kind of talk about it for the longest time.
No, no, you're fine.
45 minutes later.
Oh, I knew I should have watched it. I'm so disappointed in myself.
1 hour later.
To a SUNY school, so it was pretty much, it was mixed.
2 hours later.
I also went to a predominantly white high school where there was only, in my grade, 5 black people.
10 minutes later.
I don't really like chicken noodle soup. Can I just have the noodles without the chicken, you know?
5 minutes later.
And that's when I decided that I'm just gonna start living my life like it's golden, you know what I mean?
I love our side stories.
Yeah, because when we start talking about race, it could just
get it goes on. It's not
because we all have stories.
Now, back to our show.
My favorite films of 2014 that I got to see. Of course, the first one is The Babadook, which should not surprise many. Mm-hmm. I have been raving about that film on Twitter since I saw it.
Yep.
I think I heard about it on The Bloodcast, which was like one of those podcasts. I forget when I started listening to it, but it was with Clark Wolf and Ryan Turk. He was the he's the former managing editor of Shop Till You Drop. And they started talking about it, and Clark started talking about some of the themes in it. It was just like random kind of, you know, conversation that they were having, and it came up because they had, you know, they're both in the entertainment industry, so they get to see a lot of films like long before a lot of us did. I believe The Babadook was at Sundance as well and just kind of blew people away.
Mm-hmm.
It was 2014's It Follows, like 2015 with It Follows is supposed to be like the breakout, and once everyone sees it, we're all going to start fall in love with it. This is what people who have seen it are saying, so I'm holding them to that standard. I hope it blows me away. But anyway, The Babadook is that movie for me, and so I saw it. I saw that it was on VOD like back in November, I think. And I was like, oh, I have to see this movie. So I watched it. I loved it. It was just amazing. I got to see it again around my, like I had like a, in December when it was in a theater here in the city. I had like a whole birthday weekend, and it was like the day before my birthday. So I told my friend Deborah, I'm like, let's go see The Babadook. Like, it's not, I don't know how you're gonna take it, because she doesn't like extremely frightening horror films, but she will watch a horror film with me, which is why I love her, because she's not a horror fan, but she was like, I'll watch it, you know, because I think her boyfriend is like really into genre films. Like, you should see their like one of their apartments that I went to once, they had like a basement, they had a finished basement, and like he had like wall to wall DVDs. It was insane, and he had like all types of movies. But anyway, so she was graceful enough to go see The Babadook with me because I really wanted to see it again. And so seeing it again really helped inform my kind of opinion when I wrote about it on the blog. And I think one of the things for me that I took out of The Babadook seeing it the second time around was I focused less on Essie Davis's character and more on Noah. Is his name Noah
Wiseman?
Samuel, the little guy. Because it's really interesting. I don't do this all the time, but you know, it happens naturally. And for me, I deeply identify with him. Growing up, my mother was a single parent too, and there's something about Samuel that touched me, where you have a single parent, and for some of us, especially me, and especially seeing Samuel, and especially being the kind of weird kid, I knew I was weird when I was, I think around 5 years old, I realized, I'm like, I'm different than most kids. And it was mostly because of horror, but I was like, I felt like kind of an odd person out, you know, and I felt like Samuel also felt that way as well, or was that character to a degree. And so for me, watching this, there's this running theme throughout the movie, especially with Samuel, this feeling of kind of loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
And him letting his imagination kind of run wild was a way to feel connected to someone or something, and to feel like he has purpose, and to give him purpose in a sense. It's really like I love the scene where he's downstairs in the basement, kind of like, you know, being a magician and playing with all the stuffed animals and stuff like that. And he's got his father's stuff up and a picture of his mom and his dad. Like, that was me. Like, that I used to have that kind of imagination. I know most kids did,
mm-hmm.
but you know, for some of us who were like the only, I was the only child for a very, very long time. So, you know, I had just me, myself, and I. And my mom was off, you know, she gave me, you know, your parents are your parents, you know, they're not perfect. They do what they do. A big part of me kind of enjoyed the solace I got from being alone. But at the same time, it's kind of one of those things I carry with me like a dark cloud, that sense of loneliness that I'm trying to shake, mm-hmm. even as an adult. So that kind of touched me. A lot of the more human aspects of this movie, which is why I think it's so popular, really got under my skin. And it's funny because I was reading another blogger's opinion on The Babadook. She also enjoyed it as well. And she kind of talked about her experience as being the only child and, you know, an incident where she had, you know, had an accident or something and her mom just kind of flipped on her. And, you know, it's really interesting how a lot of us, especially film bloggers, are... How the Babadook informs our own childhoods and our own anxieties. And I think, and that's why I love this movie. And also I thought the monster was really cool and it's really imaginative. And I like the jokes now they're making about it. Like the new Shock Tea Drop editor said something like, you know, is the Babadook going to present one of the Oscars? It was just like, you know, I love the jokes that are running now, and I like that the character kind of has a life of its own, yeah. but it's not a caricature. It's still kind of, you know, this cool kind of character. And just also, I personally did think there were some elements, especially the first time watching it, that really kind of unnerved me and got under my skin. Mm-hmm. But I like it didn't go for like the cheap jump scare. I liked how it kept everything kind of even toned in that sense, where you're expecting something else, but you get something different. And right. I deeply appreciated it for that.
That's true. I really liked this one as well. Really liked it. And I remember hearing about it on Twitter and everything. And so I remember one night I watched it and I was completely blown away. But I really like Australian horrors. They're always winning, in my opinion. They're great. But I, at first, you know, watching, you know, the movie, I thought Sam was so annoying at first.
Yeah, everyone says that too.
It was crazy. I just wanted to just, I don't know, like, just please, I would never babysit you. But then after a while, you know, without giving away spoilers and stuff, it's kind of like, oh my God, he really loves his mom. And, you know, he was doing any and everything that he could for her. And I just thought that was so sweet. So it's like, even though it was like, it's a horror story, obviously, but it has like a sweet side to mm-hmm. it. And on top of that, there was, as always, you know, there's always a part, well, not always, but in movies that I really, really, really like, I noticed that there's always a part in there that, you know, makes me want to pack up my bags and move to Jupiter or whatever. It's it's the part when she's lying down and it's nighttime and Sam is sleeping and he's in the bed with her and she hears something outside the door, but it's but it's just the dog. But then something else happened. I would have had a heart attack. I would have died. I would have died that night, and that would have been that. Like, I'm positive. I'm convinced about that. I really love that part, and I love that movie. I've been recommending it to a lot of people, especially the ones where they don't really watch horror in general.
Yeah.
So, and then they love it as well. I have yet to really come up. I mean, I've came across some people where they're like, oh, I hated this movie. It's overhyped. Okay, but why do you hate it? Do you just hate it because it's overhyped? Like, please, find your voice. Thank you. But if you don't like the movie, it's okay. Just tell me why. That's all. I have yet to come across from it, okay? So, just letting it end.
It's overhyped because it's good. There's no other explanation for it. Yep. It's just a good movie. Yeah, it's something I can't wait. I'm getting the I'm expecting the Blu-ray in the mail because yes, I did pre-order it with my last $30. But I pre-ordered it, and I really want my mom to see it because again, going back to her, especially now that she has three of us and we're all adults, and I just feel like it just kind of like you know being her child and also being an observer of the way she parented her other children, it's really interesting because I just feel like that's been her a lot of times, even as adults. Like, she is Amelia. And I just really want to get her opinion on it and gauge how she feels about a film like this and how, like, I think she'd like it, but I would really love to just hear her opinion on it. But Moving on, my last movie that I talked about that I saw for the first time in 2014. Here comes the Devil, mm-hmm. which is a Mexican horror film from 2012, and I like that movie. It's not for everyone, but I loved it because it had. I can't really even explain it really. I mean, you get this family, they're out on vacation, they're. You know, it's a mom, dad, brother, and sister. The brother and sister go into this cave. Their parents can't find them for a long enough period of time to be worried. The kids reappear. Something's just going awry without giving it away. I believe it's still on Netflix Instant. I'm not sure.
Okay.
It's definitely something worth watching because it has an air of mystery behind it. And again, it's like many movies. It's one of those movies where... You're not sure you're picking up on certain not just themes but certain levels of subtext or even main text that you're just like, are those two characters? Like, you, it's one of those things. It's a theme without giving it away that it makes most people extremely uncomfortable because it's pretty taboo. So I think it's a good movie, again, that runs along the lines of the supernatural and the human condition and those things that are just really ugly and again, just super uncomfortable. And it really kind of centers around their mother, Soul, who's trying to figure out what in the world happened to her, what in the world happened to her kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good watch. It's creepy. It's interesting. I'm at a loss for words, but basically, watch that movie if you can. So
this one is on my actually on my instant queue thingy, and like I've been meaning to watch it soon because I've heard mixed reviews on this one. Majority of people that I heard, they said that they hated it, you know. But I usually love horror movies that have like evil children in it, especially if it's done right. I'm not saying the children are evil, but or whatever, but you know. But yeah, I'm looking forward to checking it out. I'll let you know what I think.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
Plus, it just seems like it's kind of like, I don't know, it makes you... I've never seen the movie, so obviously just going off of what you said to me and everything. I also, you know, like movies like this because it's like, you're looking forward to something. You're actually looking forward to see, okay, well... Are those the children or are those something else? So, okay, what are they going to do about it? You know, that kind of thing. It's like kind of like a process.
Mm-hmm. To it. I think one of the good things about the film is that it's not predictable. You think
right.
It is, but it really isn't.
Right. That's what I'm looking forward to. Usually with foreign films, they're not predictable. I mean, at least the ones that I've come across. Unless you watch them a lot, like Japanese horror sometimes can be a little bit predictable.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah. I haven't watched a Mexican horror film. At least I don't think so. So, I don't know.
You haven't watched it? Wait, no Mexican horror film at all?
Not that I can think of. I mean, unless I'm overlooking something.
Yeah, that's fair. Because I feel like I'm overlooking something too now that I think about it. But.
yeah, I don't know. Nothing really comes to mind. Well, there was this... Well, that's not really Mexican, though. There's this movie on... Hulu, it's based off of a, it's kind of based off of a, like, not a fairy tale, but like a legend, La Llorona, I can't speak Spanish, okay? I took Spanish in high school, I made it to 3, I think, that was a long time ago, La Llorona, I don't know, but yeah, but I don't even know if that's really Mexican, I just think that it's based off of a Mexican tale, so...
Then it might be Mexican.
About Don't Be Afraid of the Dark? Because the director, he's Mexican, but is that considered a Mexican film? No?
It's tricky. I don't think it is.
Okay,
I think what constitutes a foreign film is that if it's
in the country or...
Yeah, if it's filmed
right,
in
okay.
a country.
Yeah, so no, then it's not. I haven't seen one.
I think there are a lot of other elements to go into foreign films being actually filmed in the country, akin to the culture specifically.
in some way, shape, form, or fashion, and you know, it's spoken in the language.
Oh, okay. Well,
stuff like that. Yeah.
We Are What We Are. That's a Mexican film.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then, never mind. I've seen one.
Okay. Now we are going to talk about 1998's The Faculty. The Faculty was released in 1998. The synopsis reads, students suspect that their teachers are aliens after bizarre occurrences. This was written by David Wetcher and Bruce Kimmel and directed by Robert Rodriguez. The cast is Jordana Brewster as Delilah Prophet, Clea DuVall as Stokely Mitchell, Laura Harris as Mary Beth Louise Hutchinson, Josh Hartnett as Zeke Tyler, Sean Hattisey as Stan Rosado, Selma Hayek as Nurse Rosa Harper, Famke Jensen as Miss Upper Lurie as Mrs. Karen Olson, Christopher McDonald as Mr. Frank Connor, Bebe Neuwirth as Principal Valerie Drake, Robert Patrick as Coach Joe Willis, and Elijah Wood as Casey Connor. So let's start with you, Lena. How did you feel about, what did you think about The Faculty?
I love this movie. I feel like this movie is a classic. And I remember when it first came out, I think I was 11 or 12, and I remember I wanted to see it so bad, and I was able to check it out, and I was so in love with it. Even though it's like it is a horror, but I consider it more of a sci-fi, just because of you know, what happens throughout the film and everything. I really like the characters in it. I feel like they all flow together, and it fits. And I also like the pace of the film. Like, I remember, okay, with the movie, when it first started, I absolutely loved the opening. Love it. I just watched it earlier, and it made me super happy watching it again. I also, like, it was cut and edited throughout the movie. I think that this is the movie that made me a fan of Robert Rodriguez, since I know that he did the editing. I also like the soundtrack. I guess that's it for right now. Like, I really enjoyed the movie. I don't really have anything bad to say about it. At one point, I remember I didn't really like the ending. And since it is an older movie, we can talk about the ending, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, you know, with the ending, it was kind of like a happy ending. You know, and usually horror, it's not really horror, but they don't usually get a lot of, like, happy endings. So at one point I felt like, okay, well, I don't know if this is kind of cheesy, the way it's ending. It just seems like everything's too picture perfect, you know. I don't know. So there was that. But now, after, you know, rewatching it now, and I also watched it last week, I just feel like it kind of just works with it. So
yeah, I meant to say, misnomer, the screenplay was written by Kevin Williamson. That's another, of course, that's the big name behind it. So I wanted to mention that, of course. But yeah, I think because Kevin Williamson at the time, definitely, you could easily, if you watch enough of his films or TV shows, you can easily point out his style of writing, because with Dawson's Creek, with Scream, so his especially with his play on dialogue, which is it really stood out for me. I mean, at the time, gosh, you were 11 or 12, I was like 16, 17, but when this movie came out, so for me, this was kind of my make, because of when I was born. This was kind of like The Faculty, I Know What You Did Last Summer, all of these like teen screen movies. This was kind of me being a theater every weekend, because I wanted to see all of these movies. Disturbing Behavior, like all those, I saw all of those movies. Yeah, I saw all those movies in the theater, like without problem, without question. I either went alone or went with my friends. But The Faculty for me was one of my favorites during the time. It really stood out for me, I think. Because I was a big Kevin Williamson fan, but I liked that he did something different, in the sense that I liked all of their main characters, because there was this certain, because he took the time to kind of peel them back as characters, and to really find what you really find out about them is that they're kind of all similar, in a sense that they all have they all have kind of a feeling of isolation and being alone. And because when you take care to what Rodriguez does with the shots, especially in the beginning, to kind of establish the school and the people there, people are pretty People are violent, but like I like the idea of kind of the span of it, because you see a lot of students, and it's like this sea of just, you know, teenagers being crazy and being hormonal. And it's funny because that you focus on these, you know, these handful of students, and they're in the sea of people, and you know, interacting with characters or other characters or not, there's still a part of them that's very much alone, and that they're just keeping up appearances. It's when we were talking, I was thinking like this movie is kind of like a horror Black Breakfast Club,
right, yeah,
a horror sci-fi Breakfast
is.
Club for the next generation. And that's kind of how it feels. To an extent, they're just like, you know, trying to find out what the heck is happening to their schools. You know, it feels like an alien invasion or invasion of the body snatchers,
mm-hmm.
and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's so that's because when I watched it just recently, it does me kind of thinking back. I was thinking back to the 16, 17 year old who saw this and kind of how I felt about it when it first came out and like why it spoke to me. Again, it goes back to that idea of, you know, feeling isolated and you seeing that kind of demonstrated on screen in such a kind of fun, you know, neat way. You know, when you're younger, you know, most films, especially films like this, are really you're gonna love. And I still really, really enjoy it for that. There's a nostalgia obviously attached to this film for me. And gosh, I remember, because it was funny. It was almost to the point where, like, I remember seeing it in the theater, and I remember all of the beats where people were laughing, like, and they're appropriate laughing. Like, there was a consensus in the theater where everyone was laughing at these particular points, especially when Casey was like running and falling.
Yeah.
Like, so stuff like that, you know, I kind of remember and kind of think back and enjoy. So that was the first thing that kind of stood out to me. Now, you did mention the ending, which I think is funny. Like, yeah, because I'm just like, why is Clea DuVall's character dressed like that? Why is Josh Hartnett on the football team? Like, some stuff just made no sense. It's just like...
He was on the football team?
Yeah, Josh Hartnett, Zeke, was on the football team.
What?
And, like, he was making googly eyes at the teacher with the glasses. And I'm like... How is this appropriate? Like, and you're doing it all in the open.
Okay.
Like, I get you guys have sexual attention, but I think even in 1978, this was unkosher. Like, I think that's what kind of fell apart for me in the end. It was like there were certain notes where I'm just like, okay, I get that these characters have hit some sort of an arc and they've changed a bit,
mm-hmm.
but some things kind of seemed a little bit off the rails. Like, I'm just like, you know, okay. Like, Delilah and Casey, like, I can see why they were together. I'm like, okay, that was cute. I can see how they kind of, you know,
I don't know,
kind of became a couple.
Like,
I can see it.
I'm so... okay! I'm sorry. At first you said I can see it. I'm like, I don't know. You, I can see it. I'm sorry. Elijah Wood sometimes, man, like... His face, I don't know, he just has one of those faces to me that I just want to, like, no offense, I mean, obviously I would never do it if I ever met him, I just want to just, like, just slap him. I don't know why, like, especially, okay, I'll leave that alone. That has nothing to do with anything. I was going to mention one of his later roles, but I won't mention that.
You can't, no.
No, I won't go into that discussion, but I don't know, because Delilah, I'm not saying because she's popular and she's doing all these things. It's like, you know, sometimes that does work out. It's just particularly with him, you know, he's all like googly eyes and he was getting bullied throughout the movie. He's just kind of doofy. And then somehow you get this beautiful girl who like applies her lip gloss for 72 minutes. Like, you know, so I mean, it's just weird. It was just weird for me.
See, no, I can see it because, again, like, because what they do in the film is that they establish that they already have a relationship. It's not
yeah,
a romantic
yeah,
one by any
true.
Stretch, but they have, like, kind of a working relationship. Even though, because this is what she do is kind of a barrier for herself, her barrier is to just be mean and bitchy to people.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's what she does. But I think but you can see it, she always kind of genuinely likes him as a person. And I think this crazy experience that they went through just kind of brought them closer together. Now, I'm not saying that you're wrong at all. Like, I think that it's definitely up in the air. Because a lot of just really bizarre things kind of happen at the end where you kind of see how things change. You're just kind of like, what? Like, I can see that. I think, again, that's one of the weaker points of the film.
Yeah,
But that makes me think about the reveal Because when I, again, it's one of those things where it's kind of, because it kind of plays as kind of a mystery, whodunit kind of a film as well. Mm-hmm. Because you really don't know what's going on. I even thought about the faculty, like the title is really misleading. Because, you know, if you don't have any knowledge of this film, you've never seen it before, you've only seen a trailer or whatever, you're thinking, okay, the faculty are just these aliens, but it's totally not the case.
Right.
And so again, when kind of like the plot progresses, but then you realize who the kind of queen creature is, because I'm younger, when you're young, you have limited knowledge of narrative structure and clues to look out for the most part. Not every kid is Veronica Mars. Some kids are. Not every American kid. I definitely wasn't. So. You know, I wasn't really paying attention to those beats. I knew there was a mystery to solve, but I really liked, but for a younger, fresher audience that was obviously the audience that they were targeting, when that reveal came, I was like, oh my God. Like, I remember in the theater, I was just like, wait, what just happened?
Yeah.
Like, and so I thought that was really cool. And again, you know, stunt-wise and the way it was shot, I thought it was pretty solid. Even as an adult, I really enjoy it. It's not everyone's cup of tea, but I thought the reveal was pretty cool. Because they made a valiant attempt to not be boring and to not be predictable.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite character?
I think my favorite, if I were to think off the top of my head, I think my favorite character was Stokely.
Oh, yes. She's my favorite, too.
Because I think she's the most like me now than what I was back then. I, as a teenager, I was kind of all over the place. But I think just me kind of zeroing in on my personality now, I'm a teensy bit, I'm not so self-isolating, but I can be very much like Stokely. What's funny is, I remember, because I think it was kind of cute, like one of my childhood friends was in love with Josh Hartnett's character, because he was that dude. And I'm like, I can see that, because that's the kind of guy she dated in high school. And I was like, yeah, that's your guy.
Yeah.
But
I feel like I liked Stokely a lot, even as a kid when I watched the movie. Especially because she was a fan of like the science fiction like books and everything. And I don't know if you remember, they would always wouldn't Casey ask her certain things about it?
Yeah.
How
also, I like that
So I like that a lot. But I guess in high school, I mean, I don't know, I was more of like Usher's character. I was always like that black person in the background, like, hey guys, and then that was my only line. So
Usher can't act, man.
Oh my God, he made me so tired. Like, you know, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm gonna break this down, okay? I was never a fan of Usher, like ever. I remember like girls, and I was like, when did he come out? I don't even remember when he came out, but I remember when I was in third grade, there was this girl, and we were in third grade. Why are you thinking about him? There was this girl who's in third grade, and she was always talking, oh yeah, I love Usher Raymond so much, he's so fine. It's just like, really? Because I think that he looks like a troll doll. Remember those trolls with the sticky up hair?
I was talking about a Smurf, but trolls are accurate.
Yeah. I mean, but now, since I'm an adult, I don't, you know, he just seems like a really cool guy. Especially, I think, because I watched this interview or something, and I don't know if he was on the Ellen show. He was on someone's show, and he was saying how with his sons, how they have, like, international dinner night or something, and, you know, tonight was Mexican night, and they were wearing, like, sombreros or whatever it's called, and it was pretty cute, though, you know, like, that was pretty cool. So now I felt bad, like, all those times when I was, like, in third grade, and how I just really didn't like him, and I made fun of him.
Your hormones should not be turned on in the third grade.
Yeah, no, she got pregnant by seventh grade. Like, she was one of those. She was never my friend. Mm-mm. She was just one of those girls in the class. I didn't want no parts of that, even in third grade. But yeah, I don't know what that has to do with the movie. I just had to get that off my chest because I enjoy telling people what's on my mind. But yeah. You know who I felt bad for? I don't remember her name. I felt bad for the old teacher that it just didn't want to go in her body.
Oh, Mrs. Brummel, I believe.
I don't remember.
I think that's her name. Yeah, because I just recently saw this movie. But yeah, Girl, the teacher. Yeah, that was a weird scene.
Yeah, and they like found her in the closet or whatever. Ew. She was all,
yeah.
Yeah. I felt so bad for her. They didn't have to put her in there. They could have buried her or something. Like, okay.
Yeah, I thought that was a weird, I thought that was a weird choice to put her in the closet. I for dramatic purposes, I get it, but it didn't seem strategic enough because anyone could have found it and they could have been exposed.
Yeah.
But if they were exposed, it would have just converted that. They would have just converted the person that tried to expose them, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, just overthinking that part.
What did you think about the Queen Bee, Mary Beth?
Is she the? Oh yeah, she was. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, again, spoilers. There's spoilers in this.
Yeah, so. But you should have seen this movie.
After 15 years, something like that.
Get it together.
But anyway, she wasn't a throwaway character, like, because it seems because she's the new kid in town, so she seems a tad bit insignificant because she doesn't really quite fit in her face, so. And again, when you see it the second time around, you see that you see the subtle hints that the movie was trying to give you about her character.
Mm-hmm.
But at first viewing, no, because again, I think that title really kind of plays with your psyche because you're thinking it's all the teachers, but that really isn't the case.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps throw you off. I did want to you just mentioned like one of my one of my favorite scenes was the whole test scene, where they tried to test who was an alien or not.
Oh yeah.
And that part where, like, when she says earlier in the movie that she's allergic to aspirin, I'm like, who could really be allergic to aspirin? Babies take aspirin, for crying out loud. So that was weird. And then she takes it, and like, well, if it was supposed to kill you and you took it, then you were lying. Like it was those hints that they were trying to give you about her character, and like something's up with her. But I love the test scene because it reminded me of The Thing, John Carpenter's film.
Oh yeah.
But they did a test, but this test was like so brutal because I'm like, because thinking about it as an adult, I'm like, so there's a lot of kids doing a lot of drugs in this movie, especially Elijah Wood's character who does it more than anyone. Which I thought, which was funny, and it played for laughs, but still, you're like, that's a lot of drug use. But it reminded me of The Thing, in a sense, but like a very, again, I feel like this film was, what felt very superficial about this film was that it was for teenagers, and it spoke to, kind of teenage behavior and angst and things like that. But I still think it's a film that like most people could enjoy for that because everyone was a teenager once, you know?
Yeah.
So I loved kind of the things that I saw that kind of related to other different horror movies. I loved, for example, like I loved, like, again, like Casey's bedroom. Like I liked all of the posters and stuff on his wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, for the most part, I'm trying to remember other parts of the film that I really liked. Like it's funny because again it's like kind of like a comedy horror sci-fi kind of a thing because again there are little hints throughout that are meant to make you laugh that are easily missed and just meant to also give you an idea of how the film is going to unfold.
I also like that Coach Willis before he was is another spoiler.
Robert Patrick is awesome.
He was so angry. Like, it was hilarious. But you know what I don't get, though? Well, okay. Sometimes when you watch movies, you can always see, well, not always, but sometimes you can see, okay, well, I can tell who's the killer or who's this or who's that. I don't think I knew who it was when I first watched it, like, you know, we were talking about. And, like, I remember, didn't they think, like, Casey, Delilah, Zeke, didn't they think that it was Principal Drake at one point? Like, yeah, that she was it. But I don't know, it kind of just, if you were supposed to really think about it, like in the beginning of the movie, like, the coach, Willis, he was on the field and trying to stop out some water hose or whatever. And then someone came up to him and he's like, oh, what do you want, right? But then fast forward, he attacks the principal, so it doesn't match up, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they give you hints throughout to make you realize, yeah, like, you know, if you're paying close enough attention, you're like, okay, they're wrong because this happened earlier.
I also thought it was cute that Stokely had a crush on Stan.
But yeah, again, it's one of those funny parts. The part where she kisses him and then Casey looks at her and she's like, what are you looking at? He's like, nothing. He's making that face like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's because they thought that she was a lesbian. It's just like funny that she, I think it was just, again, it was one of those, again, it's like those ideas of like, you know, seeing someone on the surface and that, you know, and thinking that you know who they are, what they are, but you really don't. And I think it just took them by surprise that she's a heterosexual girl who has desires and likes Stan, likes the popular guy.
Aww.
You know? And I just thought that was funny that both him and Zeke were kind of like just chuckling about it, because I think I would have probably done the same thing. But yeah, it was cute. I thought that was a cute scene.
Do you remember, because there was like two, well, were there? Well, okay, well, there was two scenes that I really liked. And with these characters, they didn't have any names. But remember the beginning of the movie, kind of when they're, like, introducing, like, the school and showing, like, the swarm of teenagers?
Yeah.
And there was this girl. These girls got into, like, one of them hit the other girl's car and then she, like, ripped her out of the car. I thought that was hilarious because how does that, I don't know, I've never seen that before in a movie.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny because you see also the straight couple, they're fighting and it's mostly the girl just kind of slapping the guy around and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that was them doing that, like, you know, Robert and Kevin kind of giving us that setup and showing us like all these kids were like angry and beating each other up.
Yeah.
I think because it kind of goes to like what Laura Harris's character, like Mary Beth, like the alien, the Queen Bee, like she's about, you know, living life serenely and being complacent and being happy and everyone's the same. I think it kind of plays on the opposite of that idea about, you know, I think the teenagers in this film, the students, their personalities are what kind of gave the school the character, what gave kind of like the idea of being a teenager, being an individual. Like, you're going to get angry, you're going to get pissed off, you know what I mean? That's just about, it's about being human. It's about, you know, feeling something, you know, whether it's a negative emotion or a positive emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, her character is just, Laura Harris, like, she, like what she is and what those parasites do, they kind of subdue you into this kind of submissive state and just kind of being like, we're all the same, man, and everything's perfect. And that's just not being a human being. And it's funny, like at the end where Casey says, I'd rather be afraid, that's him choosing to just like, you know, I like, this is who I am. This is life. This is being, you know, flesh and bone and a mammal. Are we mammals? Oh my goodness! But just being a human and having a complex brain. We're supposed to have all of these different emotions going through, you know, going through us because it's what makes us, you know, who we are. And I like that. And I like the kids being angry. And I like that the high school, it was huge, but it was also really gritty. Like, if you really looked at the walls, like, the walls were peeling.
Mm-hmm.
And even the conversation that the teachers are having in the beginning of the movie, where they're kind of talking about how they don't have enough money for a play, they don't have enough money for a school trip, but they also kind of talk about how also, it's funny, because the school's almost, in a sense, a contradiction, because Midwestern life is, you know, stereotypically supposed to be this place of, you know, everyone's the same and everything is consistent and complacent, but this high school is full of this kind of this energy of just personality and of just anger and of just kind of releasing this whatever angst is going on with everyone else. And, you know, also with the football team getting getting all the money, getting all the funding, is because this is the lifeblood of that town, is that, you know, that high school football, and everyone comes out to see it, and the whole town is on the football field on a Friday night. And again, it's about that kind of sameness and kind of being a part of a group. And you get, you know, the group that we're focused on as characters, and they're the outsiders, especially when you do see, you finally do see that football game, mm-hmm. and they're all in the gym while everyone else is out in the field. So there's little plays on, like, showing us, like, kind of the theme of isolation that's running throughout the film, which I thought was pretty awesome. So again, like, you can appreciate as an adult, because you look at those different, you look at those really different things that are, yeah. you see how the scenes are set up and how things are kind of created to give you an idea of what this movie is trying to say ultimately.
It's true. And if you don't enjoy this movie, then hopefully you enjoy the soundtracks. That's all I was gonna say. I wasn't gonna say anything snippy this time. I wanted to talk more about Elijah Woods, but I'll wait for that. I'll leave that alone for later. You know, sometimes when I think about this movie, not that I'm comparing it because it was nothing like this movie. Remember that movie Teaching Mrs. Tingle?
Yeah, that was not good.
I kind of liked it. Like, I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool. It's like, you know, one of those black comedy drama things. Like, it's not a horror or anything like that, but I liked it.
And what? No, I don't even remember it. Well, I remember kind of the teacher kind of being manipulative.
Yeah, she was terrible. Like, she was just a hater. Like, I don't know why she didn't like that girl, Leanne, the one who played Katie Holmes played her.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. But, yeah, I just thought about that. She just had, I don't know, she just really wanted to keep her in that town. I don't know.
Yeah, I wish I could remember more about it, but I don't. I saw it once, and I was like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, it used to be on Netflix. I remember watching it maybe like a year ago, because I haven't seen it in a while. And I just, you know, I thought it was pretty cool. Not really like a classic or anything for me. I just thought it was
cool. Yeah, not by a stretch. But are we done talking about the faculty? Do you have anything else to say?
No.
Do you want to give it your Minority Report rating?
Okay, I'm going to give it a 2, Kincaid token factor.
And why?
Because there was only Usher. Like, he was the only one, was he not? Unless am I missing someone?
No, he was the... It's funny because you remember those, I don't know, because you were younger than me, but I don't know if you remember those Tommy Hilfiger commercials.
And oh my some gosh.
Some of the cast were in it. I don't know if you remember that.
I remember watching it recently. I remember hearing about it. Okay, but wait, there was another black guy in it. He's married to, I forgot her real name, Gina from
Dwayne Martin. Yeah, he was like one of those throwaway characters. He was just like a cop, and he was there for like 5 minutes.
Okay, well, I'm sticking with 2, Kincaid Token Factor.
I'm going to give it a whiter than the 2015 Oscars, because the black characters that you did see, they weren't main characters, and they were kind of on the sidelines, especially Usher. Like, Usher just kind of popped up to be cool and to pick on people and to say, yeah, we're gonna win a football game. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and that's why, because I don't think any of the black characters that you did see are supposed to be, they weren't main characters at all, and they just were kind of there to support the white characters. But what I did want to say about the Tommy Hilfiger commercials is that Rashida Jones' sister, I forget her name, Khadida, I think is her name. She was in the faculty Tommy Hilfiger commercials. I thought she was going to have more of a role in the film. If you look closely, when they're in the science, when they're in the science classroom, and they're like figuring out what that little species that Casey found, like she's in the background. Like, you can't, like, it's hard to not see her. She's kind of caramel complected.
Okay.
She's like right next to Usher for the most part. I think she was kind of his love interest or whatever in the commercials. I remember these commercials vividly. Okay, I was a teenager. I absorbed everything. But basically, I thought that she was going to be a character, but she really wasn't. She was just kind of a background extra or whatever. Also, a little fun fact about Khadida, she dated Tupac Shakur.
Oh, didn't know that.
Yeah, I love little fun facts like that. But yeah, she dated Tupac. But anyway.
I was going to say, what is she doing now?
I have no idea. Maybe she... I don't know. Like, I always think when people disappear, they either found another profession that they're more passionate about, or, you know, who knows? I haven't seen her. Like, Rashida's, of course, the standout star of Quincy Jones's progeny.
Well, that's okay.
But yeah, are we done talking about the faculty?
We are. Unless you had something else you wanted to say?
No, you seem to want to talk about Elijah Wood. But, oh, wait.
No. It doesn't. It's kind of out. I'll get to it. It's okay. I promise I will. I thought that, you know, we could jump into, like, our recent movie watch recommendations.
Absolutely. You want to go first?
I'll let you go first. Mine is going to be very emotional.
Okay. So I'll definitely start first. Okay. So my recent movie watch recommendation, I finally saw Phenomena, the 1985 movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Give me a second. I'm going to find out who the director is, because it's a famous director, and it totally slipped my mind right now who it is. And I know some of you are probably screaming the director's name.
No, I could tell you.
I can't
Dario
think of it.
Dario Argento?
Oh, is that Argento? Okay, it's Argento.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay, so I finally saw this movie. I loved it. I saw it with my friends Ray and Jen over,
mm-hmm.
over the Valentine's Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. I think it's funny because I think it's what stuck out to me was Goblin's soundtrack and score of the film.
Yes.
Because I remember hearing that music and seeing the visuals behind it, and I'm just like, I feel like I've seen this movie before, but it was so long ago that maybe I only saw bits and pieces of it, because the music really, really stood out to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really, like, really pay attention to it until now. And it has Jennifer Connelly in it, and
yeah.
Donald Pleasence is in it. And it was, like, it was so much fun to watch. It was really, I loved it. It gave me a deeper appreciation for the Italian horror directors. Obviously, I already have seen most of their films, especially the ones that are canon, but Phenomena for me was something that I've heard people talk about, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't really know I had some kind of a cursory viewing of it from before that I've seen, and I didn't really remember.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, again, I remember seeing one part of it long time ago, but I didn't really remember the film as a whole. It's something I would recommend. It's about, you know, a girl who can communicate with bugs. It sounds really silly, but it's
awesome.
It's visually, yeah, it's visually stunning. Jennifer Connelly is the cutest thing ever.
She is. She never ages.
Yeah, no. I don't think she has. No.
Nope.
She's one of the few white folks who doesn't age.
That's so mean.
Listen, like, when I first saw, okay, for example, when I first saw Lady Gaga, I didn't think she was, like, how old is she? She's younger than me. She's like 5 years younger than me, or
yeah.
something crazy like that. And I'm just like, she looks like she's pushing 40, and she's supposed to be 20. Like, at the time, she was like 26. I was like, what? It's not our fault that we have vampires like Angela Bassett.
Yeah,
Angela Bassett
is so hot.
Diane Carroll.
Yeah. But I did like that movie as well. I watched it recently, like, you know, sometimes because it's like an 80s movie, usually watch it like when you're a kid or, you know, whatever. I didn't watch it when I was a kid. I watched it maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, and I really, really liked it, which was surprising. Because, well, then again, not really, because I really like Dario Argento. He's awesome. He's just always making movies that rock my life.
Even the newer ones?
I haven't seen...
Dracula was kind of abysmal.
I haven't seen Dracula, the new one. So I'm not too sure.
I guess you can watch it and judge for yourself.
Yeah,
but...
I mean, I'll give it a try. I can give it a try and everything. Do you have, like, a favorite movie of his?
I don't have a favorite, no.
No. He has this really, really good movie. Dang it. Well, I don't know if he's the director. Well, I'm pretty sure that he is, because it's kind of like, it's one of those movies where it's like two horrors in one, and it's based off of Edgar Allan Poe short stories.
Familiar, but I don't know the name.
Two Evil Eyes. I really like that one. That one's my favorite. It is awesome.
I have not seen that one.
Oh my god. I think you would appreciate it. You know, wasn't it called something else? Wasn't it called Creepers?
Yeah, it has another, I think it has another alternative title. Let me see. Those movies with like two names drive me nuts. Because especially when I'm trying to search for stuff, it always mixes me up. Okay, it's not telling me what the original title was. Yeah, but you're right. I've seen it with another name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Creepers, you're right. Okay. Exactly.
Yeah, because I remember seeing posters for Creepers, but then when I watched it, it had like a different title on it. So, I don't know. I guess call it whatever you want to call it. But either way, I think it's a movie worth watching.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the same thing. If you kind of like those kind of midnight kind of movie, kind of midnight 80s movies kind of a deal,
mm-hmm.
especially if you're an Argento fan. I'm pretty sure most, if not all, Argento fans have seen Phenomena.
Yeah.
If you're just looking for just some cursory knowledge of Italian horror and you've seen Suspiria, and you've seen Deep Red, then this is a natural next choice,
mm-hmm.
I would say.
I agree.
Okay, what about yours?
Okay, well, I have two. At first, I had one, but then when we started talking about The Faculty, and that's when I wanted to talk about Elijah Woods, this one came to mind. The first one, I watched this movie. I think it was made in Spain. It's called Ghost Graduation. It's not really a horror. It's more of a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on Netflix. It was made like in 2012, and it's directed by Javier Ruiz Caldera. Hopefully I pronounced that right, but basically it's about a teacher named Modesto, and he sees dead people. And every single time, like, he had so many teaching positions, but he gets fired from every single one, whatever the case may be. And he sees ghosts or whatever, and I guess that obviously that affects him. But then all of a sudden things start to change for him because he gets hired at this school that's considered like a really prestigious school, and it's just an awesome school and everything. And he's hired to teach these five students, and just these students, I guess they're causing like a lot of trouble in the school, and obviously there's a catch. These kids, they're dead, and they died 20 years ago. No one else can see them but him, and they're the ones who's pretty much haunting the school. But it's nothing crazy. It's not scary at all. But mm-hmm. I thought it was hilarious, and I thought that it had a cool storyline. It wasn't anything super-duper new.
It was like a horror comedy?
Not really a horror. Like, I guess you could...
Not at all? Wow.
Not at all. Like, it's, I guess the only horror concept to it is that there's ghosts in it. It's kind of... It's a comedy. It's funny. But it just... I don't know. It just kind of came up when I was on Netflix. I think I watched this, like, last week or so. It came up, and... You know, all suggesting something that you may like. And I thought, why not? I wanted to try something new. Never heard of it before. And every once in a while, well, maybe like twice or three times during the week, I try and watch movies I've never heard of before. Haven't heard anything about them, you know. So there's that. Oh my gosh, wait, I just remembered something. Okay, well... That's the first movie recommendation. The second one, and I was trying to think of it while we were talking. Have you seen that movie? It was released back in 2012. Elijah Woods is in it, and it's a remake.
Maniac?
Yes, that's the mm-hmm. one. Okay. I'm a really big fan of the original one. I really, mm-hmm. really like that one a lot. And so when I first heard that, you know, there was going to be a remake, and then I heard that Elijah Woods was going to be playing Frank, I was like, okay, there's no way. But then I started to see, like, screen captions of him and everything like that, and there was pictures of him, and he looked like a complete psycho. like oh my god, you have those crazy eyeballs. So it's like he was able to do it. But why I wanted to mention this movie, like, I remember, this is not a spoiler, just in the beginning of the film, he's following this girl, and as he's driving in his car, he's whispering to himself, like, oh yeah, I'll see you real soon. And I think it was supposed to be like a real serious, scary part, but I found myself laughing at the movie, not because it was terrible. It wasn't a terrible movie. I actually really liked it. I just think that sometimes people forget about it, because I remember at one point it was like a hot commodity. Everybody was talking about it and, you know, giving Elijah virtual high fives. And then all of a sudden it just like disappeared. Like, how come nobody's talking about it anymore? Like, what happened, guys? But,
I don't know. I don't know if you're going to make another point about that. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
No, because I was going to say, I don't think anyone's forgotten about it, because I think everyone still praises the movie when it comes up in conversation. Oh. Like, they talk, like most people generally liked it. I think recently I just heard someone say they didn't like it as much. And that's kind of just the way things just kind of go. Like, you know, not everyone's going to like a movie that most people enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked the remake of Maniac a lot. I thought it was really cool. Mm-hmm. But there were some elements to it that kind of unnerved me. Not too much, but like, I'm like, oh, that's new, you know, kind of got like a brief little chill.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it quite a bit. And yeah, I didn't think Elijah Wood couldn't pull it off. I think he pulled it off pretty well.
He did. Like, and I hated it. I didn't know who would cast him. And I was just ready. I was just ready to talk bad about the movie before I even seen it. And then I was completely blown away because I was wrong. And, good job, Elijah. Good job. Just the last movie, it's not really a recommendation. I saw over the weekend the Lazarus Effect or Project, whatever it's called. why'd you say, oh no?
Because I don't feel like this is going to be a good conversation, but keep going.
Okay, I wonder if people know, you know, where the movie comes from. You know, I know that, isn't it based off of some things in the Bible? Seriously.
There's a Lazarus story.
Yeah. Not the movie. The movie's not based off of the Bible. Oh, my God. Christian people are knocking on my door. No, it's not based off of the movie. I just, you know, it's kind of like that saying. Okay, you get it. Moving on. I wanted to see this movie because I was curious about it. And I'm not going to give any spoilers away or anything like that. But I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. It was kind of just, you know, it was one of those. And there were some parts that I felt that were pretty predictable.
Right.
Not as much as, I remember last time we spoke about Ouija or whatever, and how that movie was just like, I knew exactly what was going on. Like, I was like the writer or something. But this one, not so much with that. I mean, it had some parts where it could have been like really, really creepy, but somewhere along the lines it took a turn where it was kind of like, what?
Yes, I've read reviews. Some people did not like it.
Yeah,
so
I can see why.
Yeah, I can see why too. When I saw the trailer, it wasn't all that appealing to me. It didn't look terrible, but I'm just like, I'm not gonna pay money to see this.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't really know if I recommend the movie. I don't recommend that you go spend your money to see it right now, but if it does come on cable, you know, well, when it does come on cable, I recommend that you, if you're curious, check it out.
Don't. I wouldn't spend my money on this.
Yeah.
If you didn't get that, like, that invitation in the email about going to see a pre-screening on Thursday night, you know, your local big Cineplex, and you know, showing it for free, then, yeah, just wait. I would say wait.
I would just wait. Like, wait till it's, like, on TV, like, when you're, like, making spaghetti or something and you need something to watch while you're cooking. I feel like that's a good movie.
That's
like,
sad that I'm saying, that I'm telling people to wait to see it. I haven't even seen it yet, but, you know.
The last one wasn't, like, a recommendation today or tomorrow or perhaps even within the next 2 years. But if you ever, you know, pass the 2-year mark and you would like to give it a go.
When it becomes available at Blockbuster.
Not yet. not even. Like, that's spend, I say wait till it's on USA or something.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I don't know.
No, that's it for me. Thanks for listening. Xena, what are your social media places that you be?
Okay. You can find me on Twitter. That's Lovely Xena. Facebook, facebook.com/realqueenofhorror. Instagram, Mrs. Xena Sade, if you choose to. I don't really post on there. And when I do, I post things that no one cares about. And finally, you can also find some awesome things on realqueenofhorror.com. I recently put up some stuff about, well, what movies are going to be released, horror movies that are going to be released this month of March. So you should check that out if you're curious. Or to see, or to know, like, what was my, or what's my favorite black horror films. That's up there as well. Yeah, had to throw that in there. I'm pretty proud of my list, even though my sister was making fun of me that I put up a certain movie up there. But whatever.
Vampire in Brooklyn.
No.
Which one?
She actually liked that one. Death by Temptation.
Why? It's a black horror movie.
She just hated it. So that's why I think that's why. Like, usually with my sisters, like, we all like horror in general, but they don't usually like my taste. They think that it's kind of sucky sometimes, hit or miss, you know. But I really like that movie, and then I just thought it was super awesome that it's a trauma, you know.
Yeah, I appreciate the movie for what it is. Like, I saw it for the first time, I think, last year, and I enjoyed it.
I really liked it a lot. It was, God, there's so much movies, so little time, you know, that I wish I could just watch.
Yeah, we can talk about black horror films for the next hour. I don't want to do that. What I am going to do is tell you, I am, again, the founder of Graveyard Shift Sisters, and you can find me on Twitter always at Graveyard Sister. The website is graveyardshiftsisters.com. If you want a library of black women in horror, you can go to my Tumblr page, which is graveyardshiftsisters.tumblr.com. Instagram, Graveyard Sister, and Facebook is facebook.com/graveyardshiftsisters.
Woo! All right, guys, thanks for listening. Hope you guys have an awesome whatever, night, morning, you know.
And we'll be back next month with some more fun stuff. Yay!
Okay, bye.
Silly.
Bye.
See ya. I'm moving. I totally had a brain fart, sorry.